You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, Hour 1 on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We got a busy show here. Jim Jackson, the Turner NBA analyst, will join us. We'll talk about the Clippers at the Suns game 2. Also, Rex Chapman, former Kentucky guard, NBA guard, longtime veteran. He'll join us coming up as well. And Jay Billis on the ever-changing NCAA. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. The Phoenix Suns point guard Chris Paul ruled out for tonight's Game 2 Western Conference Finals. Very little details here. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, said yesterday there's no update. Nothing's changed here. We don't even have an inkling of when he could come back. Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes reported that Paul is quarantining in Los Angeles, isn't showing any symptoms after testing positive for COVID-19. However, sources have told the Arizona Republic that Paul has been experiencing a fever, but we don't have much information other than Chris Paul won't be playing tonight. Also, Kawhi Leonard, not playing tonight. Don't have any other details here. And that doesn't seem promising at all. Chris Paul will eventually come back and play for the Suns. I'm not so sure about Kawhi Leonard. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, and your input as well in a variety of ways. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, at dpshow. The Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib made history yesterday, becoming the first active NFL player to announce that he's gay. You remember Missouri star Michael Sam. He came out in 2014. He was drafted. He never made the Rams roster. Nassib has played 37 games for the Browns, Bucks, and Raiders. He has over 20 career sacks. It's a landmark moment, but at the same time, it feels less momentous than Michael Sam's announcement. And I looked at that as a sign of progress. Athletes in other sports have spoken openly on the subject for years. The NFL once considered that bastion for some sort of old school masculinity that wouldn't accept gay players. And if that was true, those days seem to be long gone. The entire sports world seems to be focused on social progress, including football. And fortunately, Carl Nassib was ready to open up about it. And we can only hope that he will inspire more young football players, more young athletes, more young people to do the same. McLovin, you got a poll question for me today.
Okay, switching over to basketball.
All right.
If your favorite player is going to play in the Olympics, are you for or against that? And I'll give you two questions specifically. If you're a Nets fan, do you want Kevin Durant to play in the Olympics? And James Harden, by the way. Sorry, both of them.
If it means James Harden gets in shape to play in the Olympics, and then he would be in shape next season, then yes. I guess with Kevin Durant is I'm going to trust Kevin Durant here, that he has been very cautious in coming back. And he was wonderful in the playoffs. And maybe this is his last chance to play in the Olympics. So, yeah, I'm okay with Kevin Durant. I'm not as okay with James Harden, unless it means James Harden is going to be in shape for next season to start. Because I think that added or led to his problems in the postseason with his hamstring that didn't go away. And the same with Anthony Davis. Get in shape to start the season. And then you won't have to worry about, you know, what happens later in the season or in the postseason. Yes, McLovin.
Next example, Ben Simmons could play for the Australian team. If you're a Sixers fan, do you want him playing overseas?
Yes. Yeah. I want to see him get some confidence that he'll be the star on the Australian Olympic team. And I do think that he needs kind of a jolt of confidence here. There was also a report that came out, something I'd been saying since his freshman year at LSU, that maybe Ben Simmons is toying with the idea of shooting right-handed. I know it sounded crazy when I said it years ago, but he looked uncomfortable shooting left-handed. And it's not getting better. Not getting better anytime soon. I did, and this is something that LeBron James maybe can help Ben Simmons with. LeBron James, back in 2007, against the San Antonio Spurs, admitted that he was uncomfortable taking big shots, outside shots. And the San Antonio Spurs had a great defense against him. LeBron taking his team to the NBA Finals. They got swept, but he spoke about, you know, crediting the Spurs with making him a better player. He said that, I just want to be able to not have any weaknesses, you know, and allow a defense to dictate what I do. Because of the Spurs, in a lot of my early years, they're part of the reason why my jump shot is a lot better today. My first finals appearance in 07, they went under on everything. I didn't shoot the ball. I wasn't comfortable with shooting the ball at that point in time in my career. So I give a lot of thanks to their scheme, a lot of thanks to a lot of other teams that I went against. This is something that Ben Simmons needs to embrace, that we can go back, and I was at that NBA Finals, and LeBron was uncomfortable. They wanted him to take jump shots there. Now, does LeBron have better form than Ben Simmons? Yes, but he wasn't a knockdown shooter. He was a scorer, even at the free throw line. Not a great free throw shooter, doesn't have great form, but LeBron is more of a scorer. Back then, he was more of a facilitator, but he also scored. Ben Simmons needs to embrace this, that I got to go work. Like, this is what LeBron did. LeBron didn't go, you know, it's in my head, it's mental. Now, maybe it was, but Ben Simmons needs to embrace this and say, I got to go back into the lab and I got to work on this mentally and physically. That's not easy. And the 76ers, you know, Doc Rivers said, hey, we got a plan in place here. I don't know what that plan in place is or who that shooting coach is, but there's a lot of work to be done. He's only 23, but it's not like you can change your shot that, you know, overnight. This is going to be a gradual. I go back to Karl Malone. Karl Malone was a terrible free throw shooter when he got in the league, maybe 58%. And later in his career, I think he shot upwards of upper 70s, low 80s. He made himself a better free throw shooter. Andre Drummond, terrible free throw shooter, made himself a better free throw shooter. But you got to be comfortable shooting the free throws when there are important games being played. You can shoot free throws. You can be practicing. You can make 10 out of 10, 20 out of 20. Game on the line, what do you do? That's what Ben Simmons has to work on. His form, and then the mental aspect of, I want to attack the rim. I want to get fouled. Because right now, he doesn't. Yes, Eden.
A side poll question. If you're the Australian Olympic basketball team, do you want Ben Simmons?
Wow. That's too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon. Too soon.
Maybe hour two.
Too soon. Yes, Paul.
So in Sydney Sports Radio this morning, Jimmy and the Koala are just like, we cannot have Ben Simmons on the team. They're breaking it down.
This never going to win with a guy like that.
This program brought to you by Simply Safe. They've been making people feel safe at home for the past 15 years. With Simply Safe, there's always someone there who has your back. Keep you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com today. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. Yes, McLovin.
Australia is reportedly stacked.
Oh, they are.
Patty Mills is going to dominate. No, they're a medal hopeful. So this is actually a huge deal to them. They have a good team out of nowhere.
I think he needs to feel good about his game. The only thing I would worry about is he going to get back into that rut and he's going to be afraid to take shots? And then all of a sudden, that just kind of, it keeps it going, you know, and that's, he sort of needs to break this cycle some way, somehow. I don't want him to go and have it kind of reinforced in his mind. Yeah, McLovin.
After Doc Rivers' comments yesterday, I kind of felt like the Sixers aren't going to trade him. Is that a fair read?
I wouldn't, because I don't know what I'm going to get for him. Like, the market value is low. Everybody thinks, wow, you could get Dame Lillard. No. Like, why would Portland take Ben Simmons and give up Damian Lillard just because Damian Lillard may want to get out? Like, that doesn't, we always look at one side of a trade and you go, man, the Sixers, they could get Damian Lillard. Yeah. Hell yeah, I'd sign up for that right now if you said the Sixers can get Dame Lillard for Ben Simmons. But that's not going to happen. But I don't, his stock is so low right now that I think you got to try to prop him up. And at age 23, you know, it's the same thing with Giannis. Like, for a guy who's considered, you know, maybe one of the great players of all time, he's still a liability at some time or some points in a game. And you're not an all-time great if you're also a liability. Now, you can say, well, Shaq and Wilt Chamberlain, yes, because they couldn't make free throws. But that didn't stop Shaq from being aggressive. Ben Simmons not aggressive. Giannis at times can be tentative because he doesn't want to go to the line. He shoots air balls. I think he hit the shot clock on one of them. Like, that's almost impossible to do if you're one of the greats of all time. But Ben Simmons at age 23, you have some traits that can make you an all-star, but you're probably going to have a glass ceiling where you're only going to get to a certain level there. And you're going to become a liability because nobody's going to need to guard you on the perimeter, and they're basically baiting you to go to the line. Yeah, Paul.
I don't know if there's a good comparison with LeBron James at the same stage and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons turns 25 in 3 weeks. And he's going into his sixth year in the league. In year five, Ben Simmons is down to 14 points a game. He's regressing. LeBron in year five was averaging 30 points, was league MVP.
Yeah.
He had a flaw that he maybe wasn't an alpha in the last 30 seconds of games, but that was it. I mean, these guys are not even in the vicinity of each other at the same stage of their career.
Yeah, but LeBron attacked it. LeBron, he attacked a weakness. That's what Ben Simmons has to do. Ben has to say, whatever it takes, I'm going to be a good jump shooter. Whatever that is, I'm going to be a good free throw shooter. That's what LeBron is saying. That's what Ben Simmons needs to embrace. Don't say, hey, it's mental. Yeah, McLovin.
I'll give you another example for Giannis. Karl Malone in his early 20s was terrible at the line. Then he got really good at the line and started winning a ton of games. Could Giannis improve at the line like Karl Malone?
Is this microphone on?
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I was busy Googling stats. My bad.
Yeah. I think he shot like 58% when he first got in the league and then got close to 80.
It was floating around my subconscious and I couldn't figure out why.
You're like, I'm hearing voices. There's somebody telling me something.
No, it's a great point, Karl Malone.
Karl Malone. Yes, yeah, Seton.
This might be a really dumb question, but I ask those. What exactly does a fella like Ben Simmons work on all off season?
Fella.
If it's like, okay, I'm a basketball player, a professional basketball player, a high-level professional basketball player, and in the offseason, I can't shoot, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to work on all this other stuff. Like, what is he working on then?
Did he say he's working on other stuff?
No, I don't know, but clearly he must work out in the offseason. He must train. He must play. He must do all this stuff. So right now, it's like, dang, you know, I should get a handle on this shooting thing?
Yeah.
What else are you doing? Is it just all, like, conditioning drills or something? You ever pick up a ball?
I don't know what he does in the offseason.
It just seems crazy to me that it's like, hey, you know what? We got a plan right now. We're going to fix this shooting thing. It's your whole job. It's literally what you do for a living is take this ball, put it in the basket. How is it just dawning on everybody now that we got to figure this thing out for him?
Yes, Paulie.
And like you said, Dan, the past 5 years, you know, people are like, he's got to get to the gym and do 1,000 shots a day. What has he been doing for the past 5 years? All he does is practice shooting. That's all basketball players do. He's been practicing incorrectly for the past 5 years.
Yes.
Like you said, if you teach someone a bad shot, it's never going to get better.
Yeah, because I can practice my golf swing. But if I have bad traits in my golf swing, all I do is reinforce those. You need to break the cycle here. And they need to look at his shot and say, all right, let's start here. And then you get into the mental aspect of this that he needs to attack. He needs to want to get to the line. I don't care if he can't shoot a three. I need an 18-footer, and I need you to be able to shoot a free throw.
You know when they do the skills challenge, and it's like he passed the ball through the hoops and into the bucket and all that thing? Like, is that his off-season workout? And, like, don't worry about the shooting thing.
I don't know. I don't know Ben Simmons. But if he does go to his right hand... It's one of the great calls of all time.
Great call.
Yes.
Great call.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's shooting with the right hand.
I said that, and I remember going, God, do I say this on the show? Because he looked like it was one of those where, you know, a guy will get injured. And then Larry Bird against Portland shot everything left-handed, but he chose to do that. Well, he looked like a right-handed guy shooting left-handed.
That's insane, by the way.
Yes.
That.
And he still shot better than Ben Simmons does. But... you know, this is where Ben's got a lot of work to do. But he's young enough, if he puts in the time, that this could change his career. But you're paying him to be a superstar, and he's not a superstar. And I don't want to hear this. I heard from somebody yesterday, former player. It's like, dude, man, he gives you 14, 8, and 8. And I go, So? There's probably a few, like, you're paying him $40 million to give you 14, 8, and 8, but I can't use him in the fourth quarter? No thanks. Yeah, Paul.
If I'm the Sixers and he's actually right-handed, I'm voiding the contract. We signed you out of false pretenses. We were clearly informed that you were left-handed.
That's
for years.
Consumer fraud.
I want my money back.
I'm also firing everybody who scouted him.
Like, right. You didn't notice it was the wrong hand?
Yeah. All right, let me take a break. Jay Billis will join us. Folks, you better fasten your seatbelts with what's happening with the NCAA. We're going to go to a 12-team playoff, probably voting on that today. Also, the name, image, and likeness. Certain states are going to allow that. What's that going to mean for certain conferences, football programs, what you can pay? Not the school, but those around the school. You're going to be paying players. It's happening, and it's crashing down hard. Jay Billis will join us coming up to talk about that. 17 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. There's one brand that pro athletes depend on to help them recover and stay on top of their game. Level Select CBD Sports Creams and Roll-Ons, the leader in CBD. Ricky Fowler uses Level Select CBD, the 15-year pro. Carson Palmer's had multiple surgeries. He uses Level Select every single day. And what it does is it gives you relief. If you go work out, after you've worked out, before you work out, you can use these creams, roll-ons, and you'll feel a whole lot better. They're formulated with doctors and contain high concentrations of CBD, so you feel an immediate difference there. You go for a 10-minute walk, you go for a 10K. Level Select can help provide the relief you need. Go to levelselectcbd.com. Use the promo code DAN40. You're going to get 40% off your entire order today. 40%. levelselectcbd.com. The promo code is DAN40. And it's not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything, go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We'll talk to Jay Billis here in a moment. The NCAA's best argument for refusing to allow players to make money has always been that fans supposedly want their college athletes to be unpaid. Well, the NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. This, according to Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. The NCAA's business model, he says, if you looked at all of the restaurants in a region, they can't come together to cut the cook's wages on the theory that customers prefer to eat food from low-paid cooks. Law firms cannot conspire to cabin lawyers' salaries in the name of protecting legal services out of, quote, love of the law. Hospitals cannot agree to cap nurses' income in order to create a purer form of helping the sick. News organizations cannot join forces to curtail pay to reporters to preserve a tradition of public-minded journalism. Movie studios cannot collude to slash benefits to camera crews to kindle a, quote, spirit of amateurism in Hollywood. Powerful words from Justice Kavanaugh. Let's bring in Jay Billis, ESPN's college basketball analyst. Jay, walk us through yesterday. What did it mean to you? What's it mean to the sports world of the NCAA?
Well, it was a profound error in judgment on the part of the NCAA to petition the Supreme Court to hear that case, because the lower court ruling in the Ninth Circuit was actually pretty good for the NCAA, and it preserved amateurism and what the NCAA considers its right to limit players' compensation from schools and from third parties. So that was the first thing that hit me, was how stupid and incompetent it was for the NCAA to take that step. But really, Dan, what this was about was, you know, the Supreme Court took this case because there was a circuit split among federal courts with regard to how these cases were being decided. And so what the NCAA really lost was its deference from the courts and the presumption that their rules were pro-competitive. And so now they're going to, now every case, they're going to have to go through this rule, what's called a rule of reason test, which means they're going to have to show and prove that there are pro-competitive aspects to what they're doing and not anti-competitive. And like what you just read from Justice Kavanaugh's concurring opinion, it's going to be really hard for them to do that. I don't think they're going to be able to. And so that was a huge mistake they made. I think what this does now is it opens the door for further litigation that's not just going to be on, you know, laptops. It's not going to be about laptops and tutors and internships. It's going to be about name, image, and likeness, and it's going to be about contracting with the university for pay. And there's no, I don't think there's any way that the NCAA is going to prevail on these cases going forward. And the only hope they have is going on both knees to Congress and saying, please give us an antitrust exemption, which you've given to no other multi-billion dollar business in the country. Please give it to us because we've proven that we can do this right. And I don't think they're going to get that either.
What if the NCAA hired you as a lawyer and said, make a case for us? What would you lead with?
Well, I would have said, leave it alone. We won substantial parts of the case in the Ninth Circuit. We lost a few elements of it, but overall, this was good. Overall, the O'Bannon ruling was good because it continues to allow the NCAA to place cartel restrictions on athletes, like you just said, that would be allowed in no other business. The courts are still allowing us to violate federal antitrust law, and we are a serial federal antitrust law violator. So let's take what we got and keep quiet and lay in the weeds and keep doing what we're doing. That's what I would have told them.
What if they hired you today?
I'd say you're done now. It's over now. You have no shot. You did something so incompetent that you're not going to be able to survive this now. So now you really have to turn your attention toward Congress. And really, Dan, so this is going to end. This ruling, the Alston ruling by the Supreme Court, is going to essentially stop the NCAA's name, image, and likeness legislation in its tracks. They're not going to pass anything now. Now, I said it back in October 2019. They're not going to do anything. The NCAA is going to say they're going to do it, but they're not going to do anything because they don't want to. I think that was proven right. But now what they're going to do is that now they're going to say, if we pass anything that's restrictive, we're going to be right back in front of a court and we're going to lose. So they're probably just going to say, all right, everybody can do what their state allows, and they'll just beg Congress for a federal law that's going to preempt all these state laws, give them one national standard, and hopefully, from their perspective, give them the continuing right to limit athletes in a way that the Supreme Court just said, that Justice Kavanaugh just said, would be illegal in any other business in America. So that's now their stance is, let us do something that the highest court in the land says is illegal for any other business. Can you imagine being in that position now and the incompetence of that decision making? I just cannot imagine.
But I wonder, with these states that are going to have a head start with some of the other states in recruiting, you know, Texas, now you bring in recruits, you can pay them. You know, are schools going to have an image advisor on staff? You know, how do you get paid off of this? You have to do it legally. I don't know. It just feels like some states are going to have a little bit of an opportunity here where the other states are not. Do you see that?
Maybe, but so what? That's what competition looks like. Like, we've got differing, you know, the funny part of this, Dan, is because we've had this system for so long, people are going, well, how's this going to work? What's going to happen? It's so complicated. How are we going to deal? Not that you're doing this, but that's, you know, it's like breathless. And we've had drastic change on the revenue side since 1984. And nobody asks how it's going to work. Like, nobody asks, well, how are we going to pay all our coaches? Like, do we pay all the coaches the same? What do we give Coach K the same as we give John Shire? Like, what do we do? What do we do? You know, it's really not that big of a deal. And it'll work just fine. We have differing tax laws in every state. Differing state tax laws. So in Florida and Texas and Nevada, there's no state tax at all. And you don't hear anybody saying, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's not fair. Because now they can offer coaches more compensation. All the best coaches are just going to coach in states with no income tax. It's all fine. It may be a factor. It's not that big of a deal. And name, image, and likeness, if one state differs from another, it'll all work itself out. Other states may increase what they allow. We'll be fine. We don't need a national standard with regard to speed limits. We don't need it with regard to taxation. And we don't need it with regard to name, image, and likeness. It is just the NCAA saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. We have to be allowed to do this or it's going to be a problem. But if you looked at it on the revenue generation side, like this college sports have changed incredibly in the last 40 years since the last time the NCAA was before the Supreme Court and lost as an antitrust violator. But nobody's had a problem with it. And the business has thrived and it'll thrive now. It is not that big of a deal that the players are on the way to getting their civil right to be treated just like everyone else, including every other student. And one last thing, Dan, there are far more non-athlete students that get scholarships than athletes. So when we start trying to shoehorn this whole thing into saying, well, the scholarship is pay. Well, then what is a scholarship to a non-athlete? And why aren't they restricted in what they can earn or accept while they're in school? You know, the only person that's restricted in any way is an athlete. And I've happened to think it's profoundly wrong and has been forever. And the Supreme Court just said it's profoundly wrong. And every court in the land now has heard that. And the NCAA is not going to get protection from the courts anymore. That part of it is over. And it's over because of their incompetence.
And the timing of this, because the NCAA might be voting on that 12-team playoff today, which is going to generate even more revenue. And so I just, that juxtaposition of, you know, these athletes saying, hey, can we get paid? Hey, hold off, guys. We got to vote on this 12-team playoff here.
Funny how that's not too complicated. I mean, remember when everybody said, well, we can't have a playoff because of the bowl system. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And they turned around, did it, made $1 billion the first year. You know, the revenue generation side, nothing's too complicated. They can figure it all out. And so now we're asking these ridiculously stupid questions about, well, how are we going to pay everybody? Do we pay everybody the same? How do we value it? The school has value. Like if you applied that to coaches, what we say about players, you go, well, how are we going to figure this out? Do we pay all the coaches the same? You know, what are we going to do? Do we pay the head coach the same as an assistant coach? What about the coach's secretary that works just as hard? We don't do that. These schools know exactly whom to recruit and exactly whom to put in the game when they want to win. They know whom to pay and how much. It is not this hard. And it's in the NCAA's interest to make it seem complicated. It's not complicated. It's just business. And they'll figure it out just fine. You know, we had conference realignment and nobody stopped watching. We have coach. When I played for Coach K back in the 80s, he probably made 50,000-60,000 bucks. He's making 10 million now. Nobody stopped watching. We flew commercial and rode on buses. They fly private now. Nobody stopped watching. And they're not going to stop watching if a player can do it. If Trevor Lawrence can do a commercial, they're not going to stop watching. So, you know, this is all nonsense. And the Supreme Court called it out as such.
What happens next?
Well, I think what happens next is the NCAA puts the brakes on their name, image, and likeness legislation. And they basically just say every school can do now what their state law allows them to do, and it won't run afoul of NCAA bylaws. And they'll see what happens, and then they'll go to Congress and they'll keep lobbying Congress to say, please, please, please bail us out of this situation that we created and give us rules, even though we say we're just like you and we're a representative government, pass a law so that we don't have to do anything anymore. And I think it's going to be really hard for Congress to give them a safe harbor in antitrust law when the Supreme Court just said, no, you're a multi-billion-dollar business. You know what the rest of us have to do? We have to navigate our business lives without violating federal antitrust law. We don't get Congress telling us, no, go ahead, you can do that. None of our media companies don't have to do it. It's amazing how we do that. It's amazing how you and I can get paid and our companies don't have to go to Congress and say, please, please give us a law that gives us safe harbor for all this. I don't think the NCAA is going to get that. They're asking for extraordinary relief here. They may get a law that you know, sort of allows the same thing for every state, but it's going to be way more than the NCAA wants. And I'm flabbergasted that of the incompetence of NCAA leadership, that they drove us into this ditch intentionally and through inaction all these years, and didn't change while they were changing the game themselves. They didn't change the game in this area, knowing that it was going to be a problem. And I'm still, my jaw's on the floor at how stupid NCAA leadership has been.
If we created a sports Supreme Court, are you willing to be a justice?
Do I get a cool robe?
Yes, I'll give you a robe.
Yeah, man. I would be happy to be Chief Justice.
Thank you, Jay. We appreciate your time as always.
Always a pleasure to talk about legal issues with you, Dan. And what's better than a good Supreme Court opinion to generate a lot of discussion?
Yes. Thank you, Jay. That's Jay Billis from the Mothership College Basketball Analyst. Yes, Paulie.
He called the NCAA stupid five times if you're scoring at home. Five times.
You know, when Justice Kavanaugh puts it out there the way he did, then we can all understand it. You know, that you don't have this blanket for, hey, nurses, we're going to cap this because, you know, we need the pure form of helping the sick. Or if you're going to go to a restaurant, all the cooks are going to make the moat, you know, they make the same here. Yes, Eden.
Hey, could you imagine just sort of like railing on this topic for 30 or 40 years like Jay Billis has?
And then
finally get to read that?
Yeah. Yes, Tom.
Jay was a little vague. Now, is he saying the NCAA was incompetent during these proceedings?
Yes, McLovin.
I mean, not to rip Jay at all, but he's flabbergasted the NCAA screwed up something. Has he followed college sports in the last 15 years?
Yeah.
Everybody rips the NCAA.
But didn't this start with Ed O'Bannon's lawsuit?
Yeah.
I mean, that was based off of his image and likeness in a video game. And he basically said, that's me there and I didn't get paid. And the NCAA, instead of trying to rectify that, remedy it, we're like, so what? Yeah, Paul.
I'll tell you, though, my money would still be on the NCAA long term, because that Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, I think, was 2012. And they found a way to go another 9 years without paying college athletes. Johnny Manziel on the cover of Time magazine, that's 2012. The NCAA is pretty good at delaying, kicking the can down the road. And I'll bet on them.
The NCAA can no longer avoid sharing the billions in revenue. Just, they can't. Now, what happens state by state? What happens that you want to hire Spencer Rattler in Oklahoma and a car dealership says, I want you to be my spokesperson? Or Gatorade comes in. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be probably a top five pick, maybe number one overall quarterback at Oklahoma. There's certain players who are going to benefit. Yeah, McLovin.
So what if somebody in a non-NIL state cuts a deal? Then are we going to be right in court by July 5th saying, like, is the NCAA going to do anything if these guys? Are they going to come down on them?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know what the NCAA is capable of doing, trying to do, willing to do, what Congress's role is going, you know, universities, athletic departments, athletes. You can have a marketer come on your campus. You can't have an agent come on your campus. But if somebody from Gatorade wants to sit down with, you know, name a player in college, if it's a basketball player, a football player, say, hey, I want you to endorse my product here. As long as you're paying taxes, I think that's what the athletes are saying. What, you know, we have two athletes. Rex Chapman coming out of high school was, you know, incredibly sought after. Jim Jackson, who went to Ohio State, incredibly sought after. I don't know what they could have gotten, but and do I think they got something at least offered somewhere? Sure. Now you don't have to hide it. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, when did the shoe companies start interacting with athletes? Well, it's young, right? Like 10th grade?
They're already doing that.
I think it's not illegal for Nike to reach out to amateur athletes, is it? Don't they start a relationship like with George Raveling in 8th, 9th grade?
Well, that has happened where you try to get them in the system. And
right.
Then you're an Adidas school or Adidas guy. And then when you go to college, you know, a lot of those guys, a lot of those players will go to an Adidas school or a Nike school. There's a funneling system that goes on with that. It's been going on for years. I mean, players still get paid. They're just not getting paid by the athletic department. You know, it's not like a coach is saying, here's money. Now, you might have assistant coaches who are lined up, you know, through a shoe company, third party. But if you want to get paid, you can get paid. Remember, we had, you know, there was testimony that there was a conversation that was recorded at Kansas where the assistant coach talked about Zion Williamson's parents and what they wanted. So you're trying to tell me Zion was offered something at Kansas but not at Duke? That he all of a sudden said, you know what, I'll just go to Duke. He could have gone to Duke no matter what. Everybody wanted Zion. But you can't go, only Kansas offered him something, not Duke. I mean, we're not that naive. Do I think that he benefited? He was underpaid. I mean, Cam Newton famously rejected Mississippi State. They reportedly offered, what, $170,000? And then he said, thanks, I'm not going here. And then he went to Auburn. Do we really think that he went to Auburn and went, you know what, I'm going to go to Auburn and I don't need anything? Now, he might have said, hey, I just got paid by Mississippi State. I don't need to get anything at Auburn here. The NCAA. You know, you just stick your head in the sand, and it feels like that's what the NCAA has done for decades. Just wake me up when it's over. I mean, you pop your head up when you're going to make billions of dollars, but you just stick your head in the sand when it comes to athletes' rights. And, I mean, this is going to be a watershed moment. It just is. It was bound to happen, then it's going to happen. And instead of trying to go hand-in-hand with the athletes, you were fighting them every step of the way. And now all of a sudden, you go all the way to the Supreme Court, and you're thinking, hey, come on, guys, help us out here. Nope. Now what do you have? Play of the Day's up next, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my God.
The play. The play's called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Kalorn across the blood, 2-on-1 left circle. Kalorn cuts in front and lost the handle. The puck for Savard, a right point shot. Block, score! It's in!
Kalorn.
It went off Kalorn! 3-0 Lightning!
Our Lightning. They shut out the Islanders 8-0, take a 3-2 series lead Eastern Conference Finals. That's the biggest blowout in the NHL postseason since the Oilers beat the Kings 13-3 back in 1987. That's courtesy of 970 WFLA, the Lightning Radio Network. Play of the Day. Play of the Day is brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn, supplement that can help shed pounds, build muscle. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. If you're curious about this with the states with name, image, likeness, and the laws that go into effect, Oklahoma and Nebraska, this starts immediately. July 1st, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Texas. July 23rd, Arizona. January 1st, Arkansas, Tennessee, Nevada. July 1st, 2022, South Carolina. Michigan, December 31st, 2022. California, January 1st, 2023, also Colorado at the same time, then followed by Montana and Maryland, 2026, New Jersey. That's where we are right now with name, image, and likeness. 2025 is late to the game. That's not good for Rutgers football there. Poor Rutgers football.
Rutgers should have been able to start this 2 years ago.
Yeah. Angelo in Alaska joins us. Angelo, welcome to the program.
Hey, quick confession there, Dan. I actually moved to Minnesota, but Angelo in Alaska just sounds cooler.
Okay.
I have a solution for the NCAA paying players.
All right.
I work in a warehouse / beer delivery facility. And when we work in the warehouse, we get one pay. When we drive, we get another. So my solution is just break down conference by conference, pay per game, and let's say Jimmy Lipper-U gets called to play Alabama. Well, for that one game, you get paid the same as an Alabama player. And by doing so, you have a set amount. Lesser players get paid lesser for their talents. And when they do get called up with the big boys, they make a better paycheck. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you. All right. Hey, at least we're offering up solutions here. But the NCAA is not going to be paying the players. They're going to allow the players to be paid. I mean, the NCAA doesn't want this to happen, but it just feels like it's going to happen. Paul in Iowa. Hi, Paul. Welcome back.
Hey, Dan. So I got a question about how this affects eligibility. So if you're allowed to pay players, what's to stop a university from saying to, you know, a basketball player, hey, you don't have a lot of pro prospects. Why don't you stay here for another 4 years on our dime?
Well, no, you only have certain – you can't play 8 years. I mean, I tried, but it doesn't work that way. You still get 4 years of eligibility, but you might try to convince somebody to stay a year longer with eligibility instead of going to the NCAA or the NBA. But I mean, this is all new here on what you can offer, who's going to be offering, who's all benefiting from this. Not everybody will. You'll still get your scholarship, but there's going to be more. Imagine what Trevor Lawrence would have been worth on the open market. Millions. Johnny Manziel, millions. But it's all above board. Yeah, McClellan.
That caller has a great point. Maybe more players will stay that extra year because most of the draft is juniors. So maybe it could help college sports in a way.
Depends on how much money you're getting. That, you know, you find a lot of these players who decide to stay an extra year. You know, Steph Curry famously stayed an extra year because he wanted to work on being a point guard. I don't know if you're going to have players who say, hey, I can get paid and, you know, I can also kind of refine my game. You know, maybe. But it's just the Wild Wild West here. But it's been building towards this for a long time. But the NCAA refused to kind of extend an olive branch to say, let's figure this out together. The NCAA has, you know, they're a cartel, a monopoly. They're hoarders. They collect. They don't give out. Did we settle on a poll question, McLovin?
So, Paul, that's a great question. Right. If you could have one of these implemented immediately, colleges start paying athletes, or college football expands to a 12-team playoff, which one as a fan would you want?
Why take the 12-team playoff? I don't care if you get paid or not.
Exactly.
Like good for, if you get paid, if, you know, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma gets, you know, $1 million, I don't care. Is Oklahoma any good and they're going to make the 12-team playoff? That's what I would be curious about. But, hey, look, free market. If somebody wants to pay you and you still want to play college football, then great.
What about the last 110 years where that wasn't the case?
Yeah, I know. Even a one and done in basketball, I'd rather have Zion Williamson for 1 year than he went right to the NBA. We got to see him 30 nights, national TV. Rex Chapman, former Kentucky star, will join us coming up. Close out the first hour with Simply Safe Home Security. It's award-winning security. Home security, the best you're going to find. We've been talking to these people. They've been partners for over a decade now. And it's great to introduce you to people, products that are going to help you. Simply Safe Home Security founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, they designed their first security system. They were in their kitchen. And they did it for a very personal reason, because their friends had just had their home broken into. They were struggling to find a security system that was simple to set up, but would make them feel safe. And Simply Safe's been doing that for 15 years now. Simply Safe SaveDan.com. Highly trained security experts ready for whenever you need them. No contracts to sign, no hidden fees. You're going to love working with Simply Safe. They can help protect you and your family. Visit SimplySafeDan.com today. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. SimplySafeDan.com.